Warning, the following audio transmission is based on theory and is intended for entertainment purposes only. It's Doomsday and its affiliates will not be held liable for anything your dumbass does. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome everybody to It's Doomsday Podcast. Today is Saturday, January 13th. Time is 12:07 p.m. on the East Coast. And my guest that's joining me today is on the West Coast. And what time is it there on the West Coast, Pretty and Prep?
9:07 a.m.
9:07 a.m. And have you had your coffee yet? Are you nice and awake?
I have, yes. I'm ready to go.
So for those of you guys that don't know, Pretty and Prep, I met on Clapper, I believe. Was it Clapper or TikTok?
No, Clapper.
Yes, Clapper for the win. And Pretty and Prep is a prepper out on the West Coast in California. And if you want to, first off, what got you into prepping? Let me start with that.
Oh my gosh, you know, great question, Dunes. You know, in being new to the community, I would say this question's come up a couple of times. And I want to say when I moved to, because I'm from Chicago originally, and I want to say when I moved to LA and I was working in the film industry as an assistant, and which is its own thing, I was working 12-hour days. It's a pretty intense job. It was at that time also because things, so much has changed in the past few years, as you know, but it was a very specific lifestyle. And so to escape it, my boyfriend and I at the time would go camping quite a bit. And I fell in love with camping when I moved to Los Angeles and was in the thick of working at agencies and television production companies and for producers, because it was the antithesis of, I found something in it that I had never experienced even as a kid growing up in Chicago. To clarify, because it's important if you're from Chicago, I'm from the suburbs of Chicago, but very close to the city and did live in the city. But I'd never gone camping and never done anything like that. And it blew my mind. And I think that really rocked my world. And also being in Los Angeles and experiencing an earthquake pretty early on, as an only child, as someone who had sort of a small family in the US and being a petite woman working four jobs at all hours in the city of Chicago, you develop, I didn't understand at the time, I didn't have a word for it, now I do, and I use it quite often to help those around me, but you have a situational awareness that I think I developed being very close to my dad, watching a lot of action movies growing up. I thought I was, you know, Rambo or Jean-Claude Van Damme. I thought I was a boy for most of my life. I was definitely a tomboy. And so that's a long-winded answer, but that's really, if I really track down where it started, I would say my father giving me advice on how to stay safe when I was walking to school alone. And that carried into college, drinking, frats. I never suffered fools. I always took care of my girlfriends. I always stayed prepared. And then certainly when I lived in Chicago in the city and was working, I was bartending at the same time I was working at gyms at like 4 a.m. And so I was taking public transportation at all hours of the night. And so my situational awareness and being prepared and dealing with that kind of cold and wet and weather was something I think that's probably the most important part of prepping that I developed.
Are you looking for something kick-ass to add to your closet? Reaper has the hookup for t-shirts, hoodies, button-ups, hats, beanies, and plenty of other badass products. You can check out Reaper Apparel Company at www.reaperapparelco.com and use code DOOM10 for 10% off. Jester only stands behind brands he believes in, and Dan at Reaper Apparel has a mission, and Jester is on board. Go check out www.reaperapparelco.com today and use code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire order. Why be a sheep when you can reap? Use code DOOM10 for 10% off at www.reaperapparelco.com today.
Really look at it. And then, of course, the camping and all of that came into play when I moved to California. And that really then, I was really prepared when COVID hit. And that's when I realized, and I have to say, you know, before COVID hit, I worked in Los Angeles, and I've done this for many years, and this is super random. As a professional organizer, I organized homes, literally sexy pantries, sexy closets for the elites.
That's a job.
Of LA. It's a big, lucrative, high demand job. And I've done that many years on and off. Let me finish.
No, I got a question. I have to know what makes a pantry sexy?
Oh my gosh. I mean, don't get me started. I'll get all hot and bothered.
Tell me about the spices.
I mean, I think what makes a pantry sexy and what makes any space sexy, and by the way, preppers are inherently, if you're a really good prepper, you are organized, you are practical, you are putting your items away, in you're storing things, you're labeling things. I mean, it really goes hand in hand, and that's pretty sexy for any prepper. You look at some of these videos where people are taking videos of their underground bunker storage food. I mean, it's like, it's kind of sexy, you know? And the same thing, I think, in LA, which is a really aesthetically charged place, a sexy pantry is uniformity, containers, labels, options, aesthetically pleasing, and also practical. I mean, that at the end of the day has to come first. But when I was doing that, I worked with a company, because it is a luxury service. We also worked with a company, I believe her company was called, I'm not sure if she's around anymore, Emergency Cafe. And her job was to go into these homes and prepare them for primarily earthquakes, but we also have fires in California. And I'm sure she had other things on the menu. Essentially just walking through their home, and it's a consultation. And she was pretty full service. I think she provided emergency items too. And we met with her because in a way they go hand in hand. And I learned a lot. The one thing she told me, I mean, she told me so much. The one thing I walked away and I didn't know, you know, she talked a lot about having a crowbar for doorways, that a lot of earthquakes that happen, doorways and door frames don't have as strong of a structure, or the structure around it isn't as strong. And a lot of people suffer because they're unable to get out of a space.
The door jams get binded and then people can't get out.
Right. And so I never thought to sleep with a crowbar next to my bed. And that blew my mind. And then I thought, oh my gosh, what if I'm stuck? I'll need a whistle. And then I stuck whistles in every room. And, you know, so I have to say that really also got me in a prepared mentality. And when COVID hit, those few days around it where there was kind of rumblings, if, you know, we had friends who were lawyers who worked or friends who worked in China, and we sort of had heard that this might be coming. Of course, I don't think anybody could have prepared or prepared mentally for what was about to happen. We couldn't, I mean, I speaking for myself, that I, in all my wildest, and I have a profound imagination, I could not have imagined what the world went through. That said, I had a lot of people, and even before that with the fires, a lot of people had reached out to our company and said, thank you so much for preparing us. We were ready to go when the Malibu fires hit, you know, because it's all crazy till it's not crazy.
Right.
And I thought, wow, this is really, it's always been a part of me and unfolded in many ways. And I don't think, you know, I made a video about it not being an all or nothing thing. And so, you know, the TikTok thing happened totally by accident, meaning that I made a video and it did. I mean, I had like 8 followers and I think, you know, they were mostly my family. And I was, you know, just trying to learn what the cool kids were up to. I like to stay abreast of what's in pop culture and kind of what's going on, especially with tech and AI and all of that. And I was hesitant to make a video about emergency preparedness because it's not something I ever talked about, bragged about. It was just something that my friends knew about. And I had this really young friend, beautiful, very hip, very LA. And she, you know, would post TikToks of her boogers and get like 60,000 likes and views. And I didn't understand it. I thought it was so fucking weird. Can I swear on here?
Yeah, it's fine. Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, or she would be just post the weirdest shit. And I'm like, I don't understand. And she goes, you know what would be super weird? Because we have a meeting every week. We're part of a class together. And that has nothing to do with the preparedness world. But she said, because when I walk to class in North Hollywood, I'm prepared either with a taser or a knife. And I make sure that, you know, and our teacher is very good about locking the doors and things like that. But everybody thinks, not everybody thinks, I don't know what everybody thinks, but I know that I've been made fun of a little bit, all in good fun. No one makes fun of me more than I make fun of myself. But she was like, you know what would really be so weird? And you would get like so many views and likes and you could really learn the interface of TikTok. And I was like, what can I post? I posted food videos, makeup videos, because I love makeup. And she said, you should, that like prepping stuff that you do, the fact that you like carry a taser is so fucking weird. She's like, I was like, I can't put that on the internet. Like, who cares? And also that's so weird. Like, no, I didn't care what other people would think of me. It was more like, who cares about the fact that I do this? So anyway, one night I just made a video about an emergency pack I have in my closet and that took off. And I just never went on TikTok again. And then a friend of mine said, you know, wow, you're really, I said, I'm getting followers. And I checked and I go, oh my God. And it didn't necessarily go viral. I think like the third or fourth video did really, really well. But the point is I went from like 8 followers to too many, many more. And so many people had questions, and particularly women and moms had questions, and I couldn't, and they had questions about what I had and gear. I couldn't even keep up. And I have to this day responded to every single person who has ever commented or reached out via a DM, unless it's like a creepy crawler and I don't engage, but I also don't block.
Do you have enough food in your pantry for when disaster strikes? Go to www.readywise.com and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire food order. ReadyWise offers long-term food storage items such as chicken and beef that last up to 15 years. But that's not all. Go to www.readywise.com and use our code DOOM10 for 10% off of organic food as well. Offering chili, pasta, and soups, they have you covered. Did we mention they have fruits? Bananas, blueberries, strawberries, and apples, just to name a few. With many more food options for your home, car, or bug out bag, ReadyWise has your 6. Go to www.readywise.com now and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off.
And so I, that sort of, I'm hosting my own podcast. I'm so sorry.
I'm trying to get the trajectory. All right. Let me pause you, redirect back. Cause I had questions and, you know, wow, we're going, we're on a roll.
I mean, talking is like threatening me with a good time. I'm a chatty Cathy.
I know. I see that. Anyway, I haven't heard chatty Cathy in a while. I love it. So one thing I was going to ask you that you did hit on a little bit is how, you know, how does the acting world and being in LA, all that stuff, how it's obviously not received well. The prepping stuff isn't received well by this community. Mm-hmm. So is it something that you kind of keep secretive? Is it something you're like, you know what? I see all these prepper things I could talk about. Let me dial that back a little bit, put my game face on. Because I mean, and I don't want to put your stuff out there, but you're doing a lot in the acting world. Cause there's,
yeah,
there's shows I watched.
Oh my god, please put my shit out there.
Oh, okay, well, there's shows I've watched that.
Somebody put my shit out there, please.
I've watched shows with you in it, not knowing mm-hmm. you were in the show. And then you told me, oh yeah, I was on that show. And then I went back and I'm like, oh my god, I know her. It's Pretty in Prep.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
going back and watching some of these episodes where I'm like, I watched her before I knew her. Isn't that wild? Right?
Yeah.
That was really, really cool. Yeah. And so, but now do you put more of this out there that, hey, you are doing this because your face is out there on TikTok and different places mm-hmm. on the internet. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that people are making the connection like, hey, I've seen that girl on TV. Now I see her doing preparedness content. Mm-hmm. So is it combined now or still separated?
That's a really great question. And, you know, I am an actor. I got my Bachelor of Fine Arts in theater, in acting at the University of Illinois in Champaign. You know what's really interesting, actually? So my dad died when I was 16, and I had very little family involved when that happened. And that being said, I sort of really lost everything. I really wanted to go to college. I grew up in an affluent area, but I had very little. I had everything relative, but money to go to college was not one of the things I had. So when I got into the school, I had great teachers who helped me along the way. And when I got in, you go to college, and even if it's an in-state school, you still have to buy books and have housing. And I couldn't get a job and make all that money. I'm 18. My dad just died. And so I joined Army ROTC. And that was the first time I had ever, oh my gosh, I was like, I don't know. I didn't know at the time. I wasn't super familiar with this movie. But when I joined Army ROTC my freshman year of college, what can I say here? I was on the rifle team. Like I was ridiculous though. I brought mascara. They dump you in the middle of the woods and you have to sort of learn land navigation and all of these things you learn in your lab, which is... you take the class and then you go out on the, I brought mascara. I wanted to talk about politics. I just didn't know. I didn't know. And there's this movie with Goldie Hawn. It's called Benjamin. I can't think of it right now, but she's sort of a gal in the military and it's a funny comedy. I mean, she's fantastic. And people would refer to me as her because I was so outrageous. And I really didn't understand and wasn't super respectful. And I don't mean it was in a complete ignorant, not ignorant, but naive way, I would say. Anyway, joining Army ROTC and like putting on that uniform and then going to class and taking like an animal class of how to be a monkey, in my acting conservatory, it was a wild time. So I just bring that up because that's funny. Actually, that's a marriage of both of those worlds. All that to say, I have a theater background. When I graduated, I worked in Chicago in theater. I became part of the union. Then I came to LA and I actually worked in the industry for a long time. I took a break from acting for like 6 years and I just learned how the business worked, because I think something that also lends itself to my prepping interest is an insatiable curiosity in everything. And I wanted to know how it worked. And then when I moved back to Chicago, that's when I really realize that everything in Hollywood and LA, it's none of it's real. I mean, it's all sort of smoke and mirrors until it's not, everything. There's like two speeds in Hollywood. It's dead speed or full speed ahead. And everyone's kind of full of shit. And everyone talks a big game. And all of a sudden a movie will go like overnight. And that's sort of how it happens. It's a very strange business. And anyhow, when I went to Chicago, ironically, is when I started working in acting. There was a lot of filming going on in Chicago. I, had so much experience doing theater in Chicago. I did so many plays, has an incredible theater scene, incredible talent. But there was a lot of filming going on in Chicago. I had already worked in LA. So I started, I did a little thing on Chicago Fire and Empire. And I did a couple indie movies. I did a horror film. I did another romantic comedy. And I was also still involved in theater. And I would say my preparedness, I didn't think it was ever that interesting to talk about. People knew it about me just by proxy. If they're with me and I'm walking on the train, you better believe I'm ready. You better believe the doors are closed. You better believe I have snacks and water and lighters and all of these things just in case. That prep was different than it is now because I lived in the city, and I think urban prepping is very different than where I live now, than where you live, than, right. you know, but so by proxy, people knew, oh, well, she's got it, you know, soccer mom style. Also, it's a little weird because she also carries around a knife, that kind of thing. So people knew, but it wasn't something. And honestly, I think that pre-COVID, and I don't know, because I haven't been, you've been a part of the community much longer, and I'm sure your listeners have been doing this since they were like seven, but for, it wasn't a thing in my world or in the world of people I know until kind of like COVID happened. But I had been doing it much, right. you know, before that. And so when COVID happened, and then everybody was sort of on the same page for the first few months, and then the whole vaccine, I think, and the, you know, the sort of civil unrest around some social stuff that was going on, you know, it kind of broke, it started fragmenting the communities, I think, in my community here, started fragmenting, and people were very angry at each other and had very strong opinions about, you know, different social justice issues and vaccines and medical and the government and the news and all. And it became this, like, I mean, we all know, I don't know why, just like story time of this, we all lived it. And it's interesting because, and I think I've said this to you before on one of the lives in Clapper, is I never considered my preparedness a political issue ever. I knew that when I went on TikTok, the one thing I didn't want to talk about, even though I have experience and, you know, I practice and have experience with firearms, given my past and, you know, what I do as an actor. And if I have to play somebody who, it's an important part of my, it's not an important part, but it is a, well, it is. It, to understand how to operate a weapon has been and continues to be an important part of my life. But it, I knew that, for example, I didn't want to talk about that on TikTok. I didn't know anything about flagging, canceling, getting kicked. I didn't know. And I think the less I knew, the better. But I, that was the one thing I knew I didn't want to talk about, because I knew there were kids on there. And I don't know. I just didn't feel, it didn't feel right. And I wanted to, and me, Sari, I'm very light and fun, and I like makeup and I like emergency preparedness. And other people, I think the reaction of that from the internet and the prepping community, kind of when I dipped my toe, I realized how a lot of it, you know, and the judgments people made of me were so hilarious, because I'm like, you think you're coming at me so hard. Oh, you think I'm like them. You don't like them. Why? Because of X, Y, and Z. Okay, well, let me present you, you know, so it's interesting because I think a lot of people do judge, like I have a, I'm looking at an AR Stinger, an automatic crossbow that Steamboat sent me. It's fucking awesome. I got to show it to you. I got to do a video on it. They sent it to me, and someone will come into my house and see it and go, oh, wow, that's crazy. We're in a weapons house. She's talking about emergency preparedness. This shit's out of control. And they assume all these things about me, which honestly, I just look at it. I was naive enough to not realize that that was going to happen, but also it has nothing to do with me.
Fire is one of the most basic essentials for survival. Whether you're camping, hiking, or preparing for disaster, Blackbeard has your six. Go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code DOOMSDAY for 10% off your entire purchase. Blackbeard offers stormproof matches, plasma arc lighters, fire starters, and ferro rods, all of which are great for your bug out bag. Once again, go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code DOOMSDAY for 10% off your entire purchase.
Well,
that's their own judgment.
All right, let me break back into my own show for a second here.
So
you're in a world where mm-hmm. the apocalypse, bad things mm-hmm. happening, is made into fiction and fantasy, mm-hmm. right? So,
oh my God, I can't wait till I'm on one of those shows. I'm gonna get on one of those shows. I promise you.
So in my mind, it's like when certain people see people in the preparedness community, they look at it like it is all fantasy. Like there's something kind of wrong with this person. They must be mental if they're preparing for the apocalypse. And what's crazy is when people know me and they find out, oh, that's Jester from It's Doomsday Podcast. And because sometimes I'll meet fans of the show. I'll meet a listener here and there. And they'll start talking to me about things. And everybody that knows what I do, if they're not above me, if they haven't been doing this longer than I have, it's 1,000 questions about everything, how to do this, how to do that. And they just want to, they want to know, right? And if it's somebody that's above me, they're wanting to put the further message out there because they're like, hey, I can use this guy as a platform to push a message, which I'm okay with. Because if somebody's been doing this longer than I have, they're obviously more skilled, more advanced. They have a better sense of what's going on. And in your world where you're at, you are that person who's the expert that has a better sense of what's going on. So I imagine it's one extreme or the other. It's either questions or, oh, shit, get away from her.
That you make a really, really good point. I've never thought about it that way. But relative to the people near me, I am sort of an expert.
Yeah.
I mean, with you and your viewers and your followers on Clapper and even people who follow me, what I love so much is how much I learn. But you are absolutely right, which is hilarious and scary if I'm the bar. But that being said, I think I am reaching people that might otherwise be scared to kind of dip their toe or talk about it. And if I can help, I mean, that's why I keep doing it, right? Is yes, I have this career as an actor. I'm starting to write. I'm working on this book about my experience being an organizer in LA. There's all these creative endeavors. I'm shooting something next month. And the reason I keep the TikTok and I do all that is, first of all, there's a couple of items I want to make that aren't yet in the world that I think would help people. So I want to open up a shop and do that. And I get so many people who are like, oh my gosh, you're like a fresh breath of air. I can watch you. I understand. And it kind of gets them thinking and maybe a little bit less judgmental about the prepper community. And so if I can be sort of that bridge between the extreme guy in full camo living in a bunker, skinning a deer, and like the mom who gets stuck on the freeway with a flat tire and a baby in the back in the middle of the winter, if I can be somewhere in between that, that's a really great place for me to be. Well, and, you know, again, people are always going to judge. And again, I just think that's none of my business. There was, you know, there's like God's business, other people's business, and your business. And a lot of people spend time suffering other people's business or God's business. And really, if somebody's going to judge me, I don't know what to do. And what you say, actually, my dream is for maybe my TikTok or my preparedness is to play. My dream, and it will happen, I'm manifesting it, is to play an apocalyptic kind of Last of Us. I should be on one of these shows. It's my fantasy. Talk about fantasy. That's my fantasy. And yes, you are correct. A lot of people think this is totally outrageous and crazy, but those same people are hitting up my phone, blowing up my phone when there's an earthquake, blowing up my phone when there's a fire, blowing up my phone when something goes down. So,
because there's a bridge, and I've identified what that bridge is over the years. And
yeah.
And it's crazy because it's right there in front of everybody and nobody sees it.
Want to be a guest on the show? Email itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com. That's itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com. Yeah.
The bridge are the first responders. Mm-hmm. If you go in your local area and take an EMS class or an EMT class or get CPR certified or any of these things, your EMS, your fire, paramedics, all these people, these are the preppers in your area.
Yep.
And nobody ever talks about it. And nobody has a problem with calling 911 when something goes down.
Yeah.
And the people that are showing up are the preppers. I guarantee you, you call 911 because something happens, you get an EMT and a paramedic that shows up, I guarantee you one of those guys has a bug out bag at home.
Yeah.
You call the cops when something breaks bad, I guarantee you one of them has MREs and is stockpiling ammo. These are the people that are bridging the gap. And it's crazy because for as wildly unaccepted as this is and how outside of the norm it is, 911 is who you call when something happens. The people that you're calling are the preppers. That's what's bridging the gap. And nobody sees this.
I think that's a great thing I've never thought about. And you are absolutely correct. You have inspired me. I've been looking into EMT classes and trying to see like at what level I kind of want to get in, because I think it is important. I do have a little bit of training just to use, you know, tourniquets and things that I have. I think being able to operate and use what you have is I think it's to have it and not know how to use it is more dangerous sometimes than not having it. That being said, you're absolutely correct. And again, I think that recent events in recent years, these sort of unprecedented events have maybe have people thinking, okay, maybe this person isn't so crazy, you know? And actually, I like this whole sort of go gray idea, this whole idea of not wanting my neighbors to kind of know what I have and what I even, you know, I'm going to Chicago this soon and just kind of laying low, not that whole, you know, yes, I don't want to like announce it in the mount. I mean, I am for the good of whatever good I can bring to the world. But I do think that given the recent events, people might be less judgmental. And again, if they're judging you for canning food or gardening or learning something, I don't know what to say, man. Like, they're lost. I'm not going to judge them. They are more than welcome. And, you know, I'm not an expert. I'm not, you know, holier than thou. I'm just a gal where I am in California and Los Angeles as an artist who has been practicing emergency preparedness for years. And I think, you know, the people thinking, oh, you're preparedness, you're a conspiracy theorist, you love Trump, you're the, like, I, you're making up stories. You have no idea who I am or what I believe. You know what I mean? So it sort of has nothing to do with me, you know?
So the other thing is, like, as you mentioned, you know, the pandemic and all these things that have happened in recent years, I definitely saw an uptick in downloads. I saw an uptick in following. And I got a lot more emails from listeners saying, hey, I want to know how to do this. Can you do a show about it? Hey, I haven't heard you talk about this on the show yet. Can you talk about it? And occasionally we'll do that with listener emails, you know, or someone will email in, hey, I want to be a guest on the show. When can we do it? Et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, okay. And we've put out a lot of good information because of it. And what I found out is fear is a great motivator. Now, the caveat to that is with the government telling you, oh, we got FEMA, we got this. And, oh, you've got 911, we're fine. And, oh, we have a strong structured military, we're fine. We've got hospitals and doctors and the ambulance will show up if something goes wrong. That's fine. But then as soon as something happens and people realize, hey, it's not fine, they come out and they seek out people like us because they want to hear those magic words. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's really been cool about being somewhat adjacent to the prepper community at this point is the idea of community and the idea of not having to be an expert necessarily at everything, but learning and sort of just getting back to basics, right? Food, warmth. I mean, we get so lost in these phones, which are on a different planet. I mean, you go into the tech world, you're literally an AI. It's like a Ready Player One world. You pretty soon we're going to live in this other place. And what happens if that gets unplugged or something? Like, are you able to sort of do these things? I think the exponential growth of technology is not in line. We are not yet catching up as humans of literally, you know, touching dirt and cooking and using our hands and carrying a baby on our hip. These primal things, I don't think we yet have. I just think there's something to camping with your family and going back to basics. I think that still resonates with us as humans. That's like very healthy spiritually and mentally and physically. Get outside, move, carry something on your back, hold your children, go for a walk. I just think the practicing the preparedness is nothing but great. For me, you know, people could say, oh, you're fear-mongering. I don't know what you're talking about. It's so funny. People are like, oh, you should be on that show.
Well, hold on. Let me stop you there. This show has went by extremely quick. We got 30 seconds left. Plug what you want to plug before we get out of here.
Okay. Follow me. I'm on Instagram and I'm on TikTok as Pretty and Prep. And I am also on Clapper as, I believe it's Pretty and Prep. And that's all I have right now. You can, you know, if you have IMDb, you can follow me. I should start posting more of my film stuff and on my personal Instagram, which is open to everyone, which is Sari J. Sanchez. My name is Sari. And yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show.
I can talk till the cows come home. Is that a prepper saying? I don't know where they're coming home to, but I think we should all come home.
The cows aren't coming home. They're bugging out.
This is an emergency action message. At approximately 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, NORA is tracking 15 ICBM nuclear missiles inbound to the following cities: Orlando, Miami, Pittsburgh, Dover, Newark, Richland, Philadelphia, New York City, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Boston, Seattle, Detroit. This is an extremely deadly situation. Stay tuned, the next emergency message will be a presidential address.